und so grüße ich euch denn als meine alten Treuen.
Well, at some point, they didn't let Jews leave anymore. That's true. But then they were able to put them in camps. So probably some of them, a lot of them maybe were in some of these camps earlier, like Dachau, like Sachsenhausen. Those were two big ones in Germany that were, you know, just ordinary prison camps, like, or holding camps where people did agricultural work. They had agricultural programs, particularly at Dachau, at very advanced stuff. I mean, they did the greatest stuff. They had the best ideas. That nobody else was doing, you know, because they were controlled by Jews. So that's why, probably.
We should mention for the audience, there are hundreds of thousands of free Jews who accept the National Socialism. It was like 100,000 part Jews serving in the army, you know, for Hitler. So those Jews were okay in Germany.
Yeah, well, they were as long as they, I think any Jew would have been okay as long as he assimilated. Jews won't assimilate, you know? I mean, there's no such thing as real assimilation. But if they were assimilated, there would be no problem. But people, this is the whole idea. Well, they're fighting this now. We go farther and farther away from this, guys. The idea that you have a right to have your own country. This is your space. You know, in the United States, I can see, we don't understand that. But in Europe, they certainly understood it, you know. And this is our place and our people. And why not? But no, that's taught now. Oh, when I read
that. No, that's not politically correct. That's racist today. You should diversify that multiculturalism.
That's cruel and horrible. You can't do that, you know. And
you need cultural enrichment.
I was just saw it on Deutsche Welle. That site just drives me up a wall. It's just such utter anti-German propaganda, that whole, and that's the German, main German broadcasters or whatever. And they had a story there that the previous head of the European Union, Juncker, is that his name, Juncker?
Yes.
Juncker. He's coming back now. He was approving of this now more positive talk about Germany and France supporting that there be Corona bond, European bonds because of the Corona crisis. That are backed up. Of course, it's going to be backed up by France and Germany, but since France is broke and it's going to be, come out of Germany to give everybody some money because to keep Europe from collapsing and so on. And, it's just always the same thing. You have to take care of everybody. You can't take care of yourself and keep yourself separate. That's illegal. That's what we're fighting, and people more and more, fall into that spell that, well, that's fair. Well, that's only decent thing to do. That's the only human thing. And there, I will say, it is all manufactured from somewhere. It is all the strings are being pulled from somewhere. So.
It's the international
Jews. I don't think it's Rothschild. Well, I think it's an international group. It's international, but it's not only Jews. I think that the establishment whites have become won over by the Jews because they couldn't fight them. They're too strong, and so they've joined together. And, the Jews will end up on top. So
Pete and I, we've discussed in episodes that above the human elites, it could even be aliens influencing or controlling the human elites.
The human what?
Well, the human elites establishment.
Oh, I don't like to go there because that gets too uncertain.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
That's the.
I always keep telling Brian the same thing, but.
Good. I'm glad we.
It's plausible for sure.
Well, anything is plausible, but that doesn't mean then you make it into. I just think people who get into that are wasting their time and not doing things that are more useful. Mm-hmm. So don't waste your time, Brian.
So do you think So, Carolyn, you think Hitler and the National Socialists were Satanists?
Well, of course not. Of course not. That is the dumbest thing. I don't know that. I'm sure there are people who would say, yeah, we're Satanists. Yeah. But I don't know how many, you know.
Were they into the occult?
Somebody said that Bill Gates was a Satanist. I said, well, I think that's going too far. I don't like Bill Gates at all. How do you know he's a Satanist, you know? I mean, that's just because they think he's got evil ideas, so that makes him he's Satan as well. Some people believe in this stuff, you know.
Well, was the Thule Society and
that's a good topic. That's so popular, even with Brian. Brian likes that.
Oh, Brian loves that.
Thule Society. Check it out. Mustache on the Thule Society photo.
Yeah.
Click on the president button.
Were they a cult?
But there was a Thule Society, and it was a kind of historical, and I don't think it was a cult. But Hitler didn't like it, even that. He didn't like it because it was too much into us. There was such a thing as looking into the history of German people going way back, you know, and that was Himmler's thing, you know, and he really loved that. And to what was truly German, and, you know, they got all carried away with this. Well, Hitler didn't like going back like that. He thought when you go back and these people living in the forest and wearing furs and, you know, and Viking hats, he thought it was ridiculous. It had nothing to do with us today. And he hated that. And he spoke about it in Table Talk.
Is that right? Well, I didn't know that. You're really knowledgeable, Carolyn. That's why you're on the show. I appreciate these details.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, how about a German identity with the Teutonic warriors and the runestones?
Hitler actually said the old Teutonic culture was far inferior to what was in Italy, and he loved the open, bright, sunny light of Italy, and he didn't like this doom and gloom of the deep forest. And roaming around in the deep forest. He was a modern man, and he liked science. And in Table Talk, he would get onto these topics about science, and he had some favorite themes that not everybody would agree with. But they were current at the time, and people were
like
talking
Hollow
about
Earth?
Them.
Was Hitler into the Hollow Earth?
No, not the Hollow Earth. No,
hope not.
No,
yeah.
there was a man, I have to go look it up again, who was well known, a philosopher kind of, and talked about certain. And then there were some others where they had theories. You know, he talked about Copernicus, and Hitler was very interested in the cosmos, and there were some theories at that time, you know, like the ice theory or something, and then another one that was, and he looked into those, he considered them, and this is while the war was going on and everything, but he was a voracious reader, and he needed to divert himself from the war, so then he'd talk about these things.
What's the ice theory?
He went into that quite a bit, and it's online. It's on Wikipedia, has a page about the, it was a German guy, a German thinker, philosopher, whatever, who came up with this. And Hitler talked about it, like, you know, he thought, well, you know, has some value, it could be. And he considered, now a lot of people would say, oh, that was just crazy, you know. Because it didn't end up being what we have believe, you know, currently, but it was a worthwhile theory. And so, but I mean, Hitler was very interested in spiritual ideas and cosmic thinking. He was, and outer planetary. And he wouldn't have indulged in all kinds of things if he wasn't leading Germany, and they had this horrible war that took up everything's just like we do. Yeah. Now they want to make COVID-19 take up everything. Just suck all the oxygen out. You can't do anything else but think about this virus, which is not bothering most people at all.
Yeah, I think Hitler believed in life on other planets. What do you think about the accusation that some flying saucer crashed in the Black Forest in 1936 and the Germans were back engineering that? And Marie Orosek, she channeled down from a planet.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know about the death.
Whether that happened or not.
But I think Marie Orsic did channel down flying.
I don't like Marie Orsic. I talked about her. I have a podcast about her. I have a podcast. It's probably a 2-hour one about why Hitler didn't like the occult and why Hitler wasn't an occultist. I can send that to you, Brian.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And I found, I looked into a lot of things, and there was Marie Orsic, and I read her stuff, and she ends up being a total idiot and fraud. You know, that's what she.
But didn't she like a channel?
Sounded pretty good.
Channel information.
Yeah. Yes.
So she was a real historical figure then.
Yeah, she was real, but not not what she tried to build herself.
Well, they say she channeled flying saucer designs for the engineers.
Yeah, okay. Do the engineers say that? I don't know.
But I don't know if they actually built any of that. I'm not claiming that. But do you think she actually did channel flying saucer designs?
You know, I know Ernst Sundel was really interested in flying saucers.
Yeah, Ernst Sundel.
And
was.
I respect Ernst Sundel, but I am not. You know, way back when I saw that film from New Mexico. That was when I was living in Mexico, and it was in the library there, you know, the American Library of stuff. And this friend got it, and I was amazed. I said, oh, good, I want to see that. It was so dumb. It didn't convince me of anything about, you're supposed to show the Martians and stuff, you know. That well, came down in New Mexico.
But New Mexico, well, that's not the same as Germany, Marina Orsic. That's two different.
No, it isn't. It isn't. But, you know, when you see these things, it's not impressive.
Well, the evidence for UFOs and aliens is
100%. Oh, yeah. I mean, it is. It is. So I'm always really interested in them. And all these pilots say they see these things. And I'm not, I don't put down UFOs because there probably are. There probably are, but then when you get into talking about what's, you know, interactions that nobody can prove, then I just don't want to spend my time there because nobody knows.
Hey, Carolyn, do you know anything about Antarctica? Did the National Socialists, did they have any kind of secret programs there? Do you know anything about those?
I don't know. They might have. They might. I don't know. They might have had some, but I don't believe that Hitler ever went there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he certainly, they have some people say that's where he went when he left the bunker. He went to Antarctica.
No. Who, you know, I know there was this one guy that promoted this idea, this Harry, what was his name? The shark hunters guy.
Yeah, see, boy, I've
Harry
got a
Cooper.
Thing against
Harry
him.
Cooper.
Harry Cooper.
Harry...
I'm against him.
Right. He put out a couple of books, Escape the Bunker and another one, and claimed that he had this picture in the back of some older Hitler, you know, that they found somewhere in the picture. Turns out he was
pictures.
A painting. Turns out it wasn't even a real picture. Remember that one?
Yeah. I didn't know that, but I've seen some of the pictures that he's purveys as being Hitler in Brazil, and it's just ridiculous. You know, and Hitler wouldn't have gone to Brazil. I mean, right off the bat, I don't know why, but I can relate to Hitler, and I don't think it's impossible to do so. And he would never, if he was the real deal that I believe him to be, and I'm sure he was, he would never have run off to Brazil. How would he have gotten away with it? You know, he knew better. He said, this is the end for me. And he was in bad health. And they've got him living for years and years later, just fine. He and Ava,
David Irving,
you know,
said he had a weak
with
heart.
Fakey pictures.
Yeah.
He had a weak something.
His doctor said he only had several years left to live. Yeah.
Yeah, he certainly was not in good health at all. So it didn't come as a very bad time for him. He could not have kept even leading Germany. He was done for at this point. And so as far as now, then people will say, well, then he did it on purpose because he knew it was over.
He was only 56 years old at the time.
I know, but people can be, he was under tremendous stress. He pushed himself. And he did take these special potions from Dr. Morell to keep himself, you know, alert and going and so on. And they work, but those things take their toll on your health. And I think that's one thing that was going on with him. That's the way I see it, that these things that he took, the stimulants and so on, to let him be at his best that he was used to being, you know, took a toll on his health. And I also am a believer that vegetarian diets are not good for a lot of people. Some people do all right, but
I agree. And Hitler was vegetarian.
His vegetarian diet, I think, didn't keep him strong and healthy.
Too ethical.
Like it should have. It just wasn't right for him, but he was convinced it was. So he had his stubborn ideas, and nobody could talk him out of things if he.
I wish he was on the keto. I've been on the keto diet for a year. I wish I could have told Hitler about the keto diet.
Yeah, I'm on that too. I'm on that too. I just called a low carbohydrate, practically no carbohydrate except for vegetables diet, and lots of fat. Well, that's the good thing about it. I always avoided fat, and now I'm eating fat, and boy, is it good and satisfying.
But Hitler would eat eggs because it didn't involve killing an animal, so he didn't go that far. He'd eat eggs and cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that vegetarian diet didn't agree with him, but he wouldn't give it up.
Well, wait a minute. He killed the 6 million Jews, and he was concerned about killing a chicken?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Don't confuse the audience, Pete. Hitler was so spiritual.
Hitler had a Jewish doctor, Jewish lawyer, and Jewish cook. Well, he didn't have a Jewish doctor. His mother had a Jewish doctor. They keep saying that, you know.
His mother.
That was the original doctor. That was his mother's doctor, and he was Jewish, and lots of doctors were Jewish, and this was before the Nuremberg laws. Jews were very dominant in medical field, and particularly as doctors.
And Hitler allowed that doctor out of Germany, I think, to Switzerland. He was compassionate to that doctor. He cared about him.
Yeah, well, it was a good doctor, and I don't know, poor people really suffered terrible from cancer in those days. They didn't have much help, and Hitler was so devastated by watching his mother suffer like that and die. And he was so grateful. I think it's beautiful. After she died, he was the oldest, you know, there he was, just him and his younger sister. And he was only like 17 years old.
He had a half brother that was older than him, right?
He died. No, he was didn't. Oh, his half brother. Oh, that guy. Yeah. Well, he wasn't with them.
Okay.
But it was just he and his sister there with his mother. And so he was only like around 17, but he was so polite. He was such a polite and right acting person. You know, they try to make him out to be weird all the time, but he was very bourgeois, you know. I mean, they got dressed up in their best clothes and they went to see the doctor to thank him. I'm going to start crying just talking about this. To thank him for taking care of their mother. And you know, this doctor said that Hitler was the most devastated person he's ever seen at his mother's death. So, but they did that. And then Hitler had to take care of all those things. And he kept going. This guy, with the money that he had, he went to... You know, his sister was taken care of all right with this allowance that they were given from the veterans, I don't know, the German government or something. And he went back to Vienna to pursue his dream. And he had such hardship. And he never became destroyed by it. you know. To me, he's just, I don't put my hand up like you do, Brian, but to me, he is a most great human being.
Yeah.
And admirable, you know, in every way. So, so there's that. Then the Jewish
lawyer. You can do it. No one's looking. Your camera's off.
I can do it. Yes, I can.
You want to say why your camera's off? Do you want to tell the audience?
Well, I don't have a camera, and I don't want to get a camera because I don't want to have to be thinking about how I look along with how I sound and what I'm saying. So, I'm too vain for that. So.
Okay.
I've seen too many people on cameras, not you guys, but I say, God, I wouldn't get on if I was looking like that.
Oh, my God.
There's lots of retired people, you know, on cameras, no?
Yeah. Anyway.
So Hillary didn't have a Jewish doctor. What about Jewish lawyer?
I don't know who the Jewish lawyer was. Every lawyer was Jewish. He probably did. He didn't have, like, one big lawyer. He got lawyers for different things, and some of them, I think, were Jewish. And it didn't bother him because he was just looking to win his lawsuit, and he wasn't that concerned about Jews then, you know.
He also had a lot of Jews, like in the military, didn't he? A lot of half Jews or so that were officers. And
when he was in the army, you mean?
No, during World War II, apparently there were.
Well, that wasn't his doing.
So it wasn't just a completely across the board anti-Semitic thing. Well, I mean, there were virtuous Jews that were patriotic, especially half Jews, I guess.
I think they were mostly part Jews, half Jews and quarter Jews. I don't think there was that.
I think it's over 100,000 of them.
Well, yeah, but you exactly. know, if you talk about full Jews, that number is going to be very much smaller, way mm-hmm. smaller. Because
I think he had four Jewish generals.
The guy who did this, you know, kind of.
Four Jewish generals, right? Or half Jewish, I suppose.
Yeah, I think they might. Well,
except that Milch
Jewish
wasn't
generals.
Jewish.
Fully Milch, Jewish. Is,
mm-hmm. Milch was not part Jewish at all. Milch wasn't Jewish at all. But that's another story, which we don't have time to get into now. So that Jewish lawyer is not a big deal, and his cook, you know, this cook ended up being a quarter or an eighth Jewish, who he had known and was a friend and an ally of Hitler's in his kind of inner group there for a long time. And he cooked for him. And just because he liked to cook, you know, and he knew what Hitler liked and mainly just cooked eggs in the morning. I don't know.
So he could have been poisoned by a Jewish cook, but it wasn't.
No, this was a good guy. And he was only a quarter Jewish, or he might even have been only an eighth Jewish. It's somewhere. It's in his, you know, probably even on Wikipedia.
Okay, I'll let that go then.
He's not, and he was never like with the Jews or anything. He was with the National Socialists. So, and really, I think that's everything.
Okay, I got one last question before you go. At the very bottom, it's a minor point, but you might know the answer. This thing about Operation Barbarossa being preemptive strike against Russia, or like an expansionist land grab policy.
Well, so, he wrote in his writings in the second book, especially, and he'd always been talking about the richness of the land, particularly Ukraine. And it was a very productive land, which was not being well managed or well used by the people living there, the Russian Ukrainian people there. They're very slovenly group of people. If you look at their farms and stuff, they're all ramshackle, and because they didn't have any ambitious, and so they just would grow what they needed, and it grew, and then they ate it, and you know, that's about, and you know, it was some of the richest farmland, and it's huge too. And Germany is known for being very short on decent farmland and not being able to provide a lot of resources for itself, and you know, looks enviously at things like that. So it was natural for Hitler to say, we could, you know, expand there, and what we could do with that land, you know, boy, we could make it the breadbasket of all Europe. You know, we could feed everyone. And now
that's a reasonable statement to make. That makes sense.
It would solve Germany's problems. He was always looking to solve Germany's problems. I don't see anything wrong with that. He was pro-German.
People say, oh, he was going to invade the East. You know, he was going to invade the East. He was a warmonger.
You know, the only reason he got talking about colonizing in Russia and putting, you know, all these troops in there and for permanent, and building all these farm towns and, you know, all this stuff, was because the war had taken them there. You know, they had pushed him into that. You know, he got pushed into Russia and fighting the Soviet Union. And I think those who say then, well, he could have stopped right where he was. He didn't have to go any further. He didn't have to go into Poland. He didn't have to go into Russia. He should have stopped right where he was and he would have been left alone. He would not have been left alone first. And he had to deal with Poland. He had to deal with Poland, and he did. And it was not only Britain and France, but the United States pushing him from behind. That they declared war on him, and he was a believer in preemptive. He knew Germany. Now, didn't the Kaiser just think that he needed to be the first to attack? He couldn't wait until he was attacked because of Germany's position.
Makes sense.
Surrounded by
its
enemies, it has to get an advantage in a preemptive strike. And so the reason why Hitler went into France when he did with his sudden surprise attack, kind of supposed to be a surprise, was because he wasn't going to wait until they were building up. They didn't want to start anything yet because France and Britain were building up their forces and their armaments and everything, their defenses. And he didn't want to wait until they got all that done. And then, you know, then they'd attack him from two or three sides. So that's why he did what he did. And it was very successful.
In your book, Giesler describes that. How was it? Uh-huh. He personally, you know, masterminded the attack on France with gliders and state-of-the-art technology. He was brilliant. And he did it himself.
He did.
Devised it, yeah.
He did.
So anyway, that's part of the overall painting picture, Hitler in the bad light, that he started the war, which is a lie. And of course, you know, he killed 6 million Jews, which is another lie. So therefore, he's just the overall evil person that started the war because he wanted to conquer all this land so he can exploit it.
Take over the world. Who's going to take over the world, Pete?
Right, but most people today, as you guys know, believe that Hitler started the war because he wanted to conquer the world for himself, including Russia, right?
Well, that's what they try to get people to believe, but not, you know, there's an awful lot of people who don't believe it, you know.
Sure.
There's a lot of us. You know, we're here. We're doing this program to defend the great one, right?
That's right.
We're doing it to defend the great one, and there's a lot of people who are on our side.
This is Pete's idea. We got to do something to defend the great one from this.
I thought
John
it was your
Connor
idea.
Junior,
he said
Jim
it was
Connor
your
Jr.
idea.
And Bajerkness. This is Pete's idea. He said we got to defend the great one from Bajerkness and Jim Conda Jr. and these liars.
Jim Conda, the evil Jim Conda.
He's an old friend of yours, right? We're just doing this personal beef that Pete has. With
nothing personal, Jim.
Jim Conda Jr.
He just needs to, you know, wise up and learn some real history instead of listening to this. What's that guy's name? That Polish?
Michael.
Rakowski or something.
Yeah. Rajkowski.
Rajkowski.
If you ever hear Polish spoken, it's very soft and
Rosnowski.
Zha sounding stuff. You know, it's very soft, not like Russian, and certainly not like German, which is very distinct and sharp, but it has its soft words too. But what?
Okay, yeah, I have a question. I know you gotta go. We're not gonna let you go here. We have you. We have a fountain of knowledge here. You know, we're gonna get you for everything you're worth. Okay, we talked about this with Brian on another show, not on the show, maybe privately. But you're familiar with Henry Mackow, I presume, right?
Oh yeah.
Right.
Another
I really like Henry Mackow stuff, except for the Hitler and the Holocaust things. Obviously, he's on the wrong side on that one.
But he's one Jewish, of the, right?
Right.
Yeah, but that's a big part of it. Or maybe it
I understand.
It's the only part I look at. I've seen, so I don't know.
Yeah, but he takes the Jews to task in general.
He's mostly against women, and he hates feminism. I think that's a big...
Yeah, he's good on that, too. And he's good on defining communism and cultural Marxism and how the world is under some kind of a, you know, satanic spell, so to
speak. Yeah, but his reasoning is wrong for why.
Well, in any case, the point that I wanted to make about him was that he talks about this document called the Red Symphony.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with that?
Well, I am. Yes.
Okay. Now, is this a document? He says this is the biggest thing since the protocols. Well, it's a confession, right?
It's a book. I mean, people have written about it. A confession by somebody. I don't know if it's a confession. It's not a document that I know of. If there was a document, that means...
Well, not a document per se. Yeah. Well, no, it is a document because supposedly the guy that did the interrogation made a carbon copy of it.
Well, who's the author of it
Lebowski,
that you're talking about?
It starts with an L. The guy that was a doctor that was supposed to in charge of doing the interrogation for Stalin on this guy. And apparently he secretly made a carbon copy for himself and found its way to a publisher at some point. And I think that's how the whole thing came out. And this was what, in 1938, I believe, or 39, right before the war started. And this guy was supposed to have been like real up there with the top Bolsheviks. Like he was buddy buddies with Trotsky and everything. And he had some important positions. He was ambassador to the Ukraine or in charge of the Ukraine and some other things. So he was a big insider. But the key thing is, and I wish I had it in front of me, but the point was that, you know, what this guy was saying was that, you know, the top brass, you know, the Rothschild and company essentially wanted Trotsky to be the successor of Stalin, of Lenin. But, you know, Stalin kind of found his way to the top and he was an opportunist and maybe Trotsky had gotten sick or something. He got the upper hand and they weren't too happy with him, but they were stuck with him. And in order to get him to sort of fall in line with what they wanted, they built up Hitler to turn him against Stalin. Well, you know the theory.
I never heard of that. I mean, I may have, and I may recognize that name, that person's name starts with L if I heard it, but I don't know. But you know, the Red Symphony was it was a spy organization, it was a communist, and you know they used the word symphony. A choir or a symphony is also called the Red Choir. And then there's the red, in German, it's a red what? What is that? It's in the Kiesler book too. I've got stuff about that. The Red Orchestra. That's another way of saying it than the Red Symphony or the Red Orchestra. The Rote something. I can't come up with it. But it was part of this whole operation that I mentioned that the German upper military people were passing information on to, and people also in the diplomatic corps or in the intelligence agencies under Canaris, there, you know, all of these people, there were people there who were cooperating to help Germany lose and give information to the Soviets on that basis. And they had these lines. They weren't actually telephone lines, but they're using the telephone lines in some way and hiding it. Unless I'm reading it directly, I forget how it works. to do this, and this was the part that Hitler learned that made him most disgusted and sick, he said, and he couldn't even talk about it because he didn't want to talk about it, and he hated having to read about it because, you know, it revealed that these Germans were the ones who were doing this and causing the death of like hundreds of thousands of soldiers of their own, which he just couldn't fathom, you know. He couldn't fathom it. It just was. So if some of these people got hanged with piano wire, that's why. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It wasn't Hitler who was involved in that. See, there's another way of trying to make him the guy. He was not. I don't know what the story is that you've read, but
oh, you don't. So you're not.
I know about the Red Orchestra. You know,
this guy's name was Christian Rakover, but he had a Russian name also. Or a Jewish name, rather. This was sort of his anglicized name. I forget what his Rakovsky. Rakovsky, I think, was the Russian.
Well, yeah, I know. It sort of rings a bell that there was. I've probably seen it, you know, but it's all goes back. I forget. I've forgotten. I can get my book out.
I was just wondering as far as how legit this was, because
I don't think it's legit.
It can't be, because it sort of makes it that, again, it falls into this narrative that Hitler was the stooge of the Rothschilds because they created him in order to pit him against Stalin, to keep Stalin.
Yeah, see, that's just all false.
That's why I'm very suspicious of it.
Yeah, I would be. I mean, I would never go along with anything that's based on that or that leads to that. That's just not true. That's not who Hitler was. And people can say, well, you just don't want to believe it. But their evidence is not. I've never looked at anything like that I thought the evidence was compelling or they really had any at all. Most of the time, it's a joke.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. Why would the Rothschilds want to destroy Russian communism, which they created to take over the world? Why would they use Hitler to destroy that just to get Stalin? Why not just assassinate Stalin?
No, if they want to destroy it, I wish I had that. Maybe I'm going to try to Google the actual article there that might explain that. Well, you know, it's not that they just wanted to keep him in line, to destroy communism.
It's coming to me that there is something that's called the Red Symphony that is this type of thing. But
so they're keeping communism in line. If they get Hitler to attack communism, doesn't really make sense, does it?
Well, the way it's presented there, it seems like it makes sense. But but the problem is that you have to assume that Hitler was a Rothschild shill in order to use him as a lever against Stalin. That's the conclusion you left. But it makes sense in the way that this guy is presenting it. I'm just wondering whether this is real or fake. That's all.
I think it's fake. Now, I found in my book, in the Artist Within the Warlord book, in chapter 9, there's a footnote to that chapter, footnote 4. And it says, I'm going to just read this. By Macabre Chapel. M-A-C-A-B-R-E, Macabre Chapel. Giesler is referring to the Red Chapel, Rote Kapelle, which is equivalent to Red Orchestra, or Red Symphony. The German cryptonym for a European-wide Soviet espionage network that transmitted information via radio directly to the Soviets. Now, I wrote this footnote. So this is what came up with. It was headed by a Polish communist Jew. Yeah, Leopold Trepper. Leopold Trepper. Does that ring a bell? And was first discovered in Brussels in 1941. In Germany, the leaders were Harro Schulz-Boysen. That was the German guy, a German, collaborator. A desk officer at the Reich Ministry of Aviation, Dr. Arvid Hanek of the Ministry of Economics, and Rudolf von Shalia, head of the Foreign Office of Information Department, Foreign Office Information Department, excuse me. So that's three Germans that were involved in that in these departments. All three of these, and all three of these men had access to sensitive and or secret information. Abwehr Chief Canaris and others estimated that the Rote Kapelle, or the Red Symphony in Germany, cost the lives of 200,000 German men. By the end of 1942, the leaders had been apprehended and the network shut down, or so it was thought, because this thing continued after that on the Eastern Front. Something very similar, whatever. So that's why I wrote it that way. But they thought that they had that shut down. It was in the West then. And that's what was why there was all these leaks of information. And that's covered earlier in the book. So this has to be the same thing, although this is this guy's version of it, brings Hitler into it, which brings Hitler into it, right?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think, let me see, I had this guy's name here.
You Googled it, huh?
Well, yeah, I didn't get that far into it, but the guy's name that wrote the book apparently was Dr. J. Landowski. L-A-L-A-N-D, like land.
Yeah, it's always people with names like that.
O-W-S-K-Y. And supposedly he wrote the book called The Red Symphony because he was the stenographer or something, or the guy involved in the interrogation of Rakovsky, right?
Okay, Landowski, did you say?
That's right. Dr. J. Landowski, Landowski.
Okay, and this is The Red Symphony.
Yeah.
Well, I will look it up.
Fact or fiction, debunking anti-Hitler myths. We'll make a series of it.
We got to do it for the great one.
With Carolyn Jaeger, debunking.
There you go.
Hitler, debunking anti-Hitler propaganda.
We have to do it for him today. He's Adolf Hitler David today. We're doing it for his spirit, you know. He's the leader.
There you go.
Remember, Carolyn, you said in a previous video, well, we still have a leader today. Our leader is Adolf Hitler. He's still our leader. We have all of his teachings. We have his words.
That's right. That's right. We have a whole lot, and we have all kinds of stuff from the National Socialist Party and all wonderful stuff, all kinds of stuff. But
hasn't been translated into English. I mean, there's still more leadership there. We have to translate into English still.
Yeah, probably. Unfortunately, I'm not a translator. Neither are you.
I had Gerhard Lock on my show. He's translated like 100 or 200 books from German in English. And he was saying like something like 97% of the material from National Socialism has never been translated into English yet.
Uh-huh.
Still so much there, he said.
Wow.
Well, we better hurry up because the way they're censoring and destroying stuff and making it inaccessible, I mean, is very, very distressing. I used to think that back when I started, the internet seemed like a wealth of, you know, a wonderful, what do you call that, you know, place of wonderful information.
Yeah.
And now it's not like that way at all.
Like, will this video survive a century from now, or everything go down the memory hole? Like, I got 2,000 videos on BitChute. Will that be eliminated? Who knows? You know, the Jewish power to censor this world, they've done it in the past. They could do it again.
Well, it's so big. It's hard to get your head around. I know you don't want to talk about this. I don't either. But, you know, nothing has brought the danger that we're in now, to me, as much in a long, long, maybe ever, since I got into studying National Socialism and Adolf Hitler and so on, like this COVID thing. It has all the marks of something that is really, really seriously bad.
Yeah, oh yeah, we can talk about that. The Jew World Order power grab using COVID could be the biggest psyop in the history of the world right now.
The mark of the beast.
Yeah, I've had a lot of guests talking about it. It's the main topic now, of course.
You know, Ron, no, what's his first name? That Dershowitz, Alan Dershowitz, was on a Fox News news segment, I don't know, yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he said, and he's pretty good with the law.
Yeah.
He said that the state has the power to force people to get a vaccination, to get the vaccine if it wants to. And he was going all into that. There's no, and that's horrifies me because that hits home. Now that could happen to me. You know, I'm going to hide from that vaccine. There will be one. And I don't want it. And I don't want to take it. And I just imagine what it would be like if some people with badges or whatever come up to my house and say, we have to take you to the health clinic and you have to get this vaccine. And they can just put me in their car, arrest me. And, you know, that's, I'd like, oh, wow.
I know what you should tell them, Carolyn. Wow. If they do that, you should go,
I think you should cut off this last part of this show.
Well, I like that humor, included. You know. I like to throw in some humor. A little bit zany, you know. See, I want people to think Brian Rue's a bit kooky. That'll be my defense in court. Hey, I'm a manic depressive. Your Honor, really, I'm just bipolar. And really.
Right. Well, I've always thought it was kind of funny, and I never felt like anything was really going to happen to me. But this thing, I don't like, you know, I've been anti-establishment for health all my life, really. You know, I've always done my own health, had my own health ideas and so on. And, you know, more and more and more. And I shouldn't probably say this out loud. You know, even putting this out, somebody's gonna report me to the damn vaccine police. So I think I'm not gonna say anything.
Well, you've made it a long way. Do you wanna share your age with the audience, Carolyn? You've made it to this.
So you're gonna cut this off for sure.
Well, I won't say your age if you don't want to.
I say my age all the time. And my date of birth is on my website, so I don't know why I have to
go into it.
I don't have to say,
Carolyn.
I'm a lady.
That's
you
right.
You know, and it's rude.
Brian, come on, Brian. What's the
You're
matter
rude,
with you?
You're rude, Brian. Get some manners, Brian.
Okay.
But, you know, I saw that thing with Dershowitz, and this one guy was presenting at the Skouras. Mm-hmm. This younger guy that does a lot of these videos. And then he followed up by looking for this law, fact checking what Dershowitz says. And he found it. And it's there. Yeah, he showed it. He was reading it. Apparently, it goes back to sometime with the Spanish flu, maybe. It was at that time. It says the government, under circumstances like a pandemic, has the right to look for the safety for everyone and impose a vaccine or what have you. And it seems like it can be interpreted that way. And then I saw this other video that was a little disturbing too. And there's President Trump, and he comes on there and he says, oh, we're doing real well with the vaccine. We're working real hard and we're gonna have it by the end of the year. And there's gonna be so many people to vaccinate, we're gonna have the army going around.
Yeah, I know. That was a while back he said that.
Oh, was that a while back?
Just this week he said.
Yeah, this was a couple weeks ago.
No, but just this week Trump is saying people can have a choice. And even has a video saying he's taken hydroxychloroquine the last
10 days,
and I've got that actually on my BitChute channel.
Yeah, I think that Trump would not be for enforcing this kind of a law. I don't think he would enforce it, but that doesn't mean that somebody else wouldn't or he wouldn't, you know, have any. You know, he wouldn't be in power then or something.
But Carolyn, it's pretty clear that Trump is.
But
not
he thinks that everybody would want it. You know, they think everybody wants it. But now they've said they're admitting that they know there are people who don't want it.
But if you look at all the people he's got on that panel, when they talk, the Corona panel there, I mean, every one of them is a globalist, you know,
well,
head of the World Health Organization and the CDC.
Yeah,
and,
but did you read his letter to the World Health Organization? I read that yesterday, and I thought about putting it on my website as a post, but I couldn't copy the contents of it. It's a PDF. So I thought, but, you know, everybody should read that. He issued just yesterday, came out yesterday, I think, or maybe the day before, a very strong letter to the World Health Organization. I thought it was great. And no ifs, ands, and buts about it. It didn't give any, you know, he's blaming them. And if they don't make some big changes in the next 30 days, he's going to make that permanent, that we are not funding the World Health Organization anymore. So that was a real threat. And, you know, they're going to have to do something because they can't get along without the money from the United States. And I think it's terrible that the United States has to support all these
Bill
damn
Gates
things.
Bill Gates can support them. Maybe we can get
Yeah, let Bill Gates, he's
let
the
Bill
second.
Gates support them.
The
yeah.
Gates Foundation was the second highest contributor after the United States.
That's right.
Well, let them become the biggest contributor. There's a lot of other billionaires. They got so much money. God Almighty, why is the government spending all this money, taxpayers' money, when all these billionaires are running around who want these things and they've got money enough to spare?
You know, I want to believe. I mean, I do believe in Trump. I'm happy we have Trump instead of Hillary, and I think he's good in a lot of ways. But I also think that his hands are tied on some things because he doesn't call the shots on everything, right?
Well, and I think his hands are tied simply because he's president of the United States. As president of the United States, there's certain things you have to go along with, like supporting the military and our military history and stuff. He can't come out and say, oh, well, you know, our military was wrong in World War II. We should have never gotten in that war, you know, or things like that. My God, if he said that, that'd be enough to impeach him right there. And
he said in his last lifetime, I think he was General Patton, and he said, we fought the wrong enemy. He looks just like Patton. We have videos on that.
When did he say that?
No, he didn't say that, but if you look at videos on YouTube of General Patton, Patton looks like Donald Trump, has a similar personality.
I really think
he was General Patton in his previous
life. Well,
really
you always want to know.
Yeah, we're going in a different dimension here.
In case
you hadn't noticed.
Brian,
but look,
all I'm saying
is, why hasn't he fired Fauci with all these
allegations? Well, I think he'd like to, but you know,
but
that's a dangerous thing. Well, Fauci is the head of... He can't really fire Fauci. What reason would he have to do it?
It was on his advice that the economy was shut down. And that's the real problem that we're having, not the stupid flu.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be able to convince people of that. And it's an election year, and the Republicans would kill him with it.
Yeah,
so, but he's come out and disagreed with Fauci, which I think is good. I don't like any of those people, but that's the kind of people you're going to have who are going to be in charge of public health. You know, that's the people that Burks, she's just as bad. She's not as bad as Fauci, but she's not
good.
Not
as bad, but she's...
But,
she's
you know, they believe in this stuff. And so they don't believe in individual taking care of yourself. They believe we've got to, you know, take care of all these things and monitor everything. And so that's their deal. And that's what you're going to have there. So I think others have been pretty good, but they're given the job. Protect the public health. That's what they're supposed to do, you know. It's a mess because we let things go so far. We let things go so far, and then we suddenly say, oh, wait a minute, this has gone too far. Yeah, well, then it's not as easy to get it back again, bring it back again.
Yeah.
At least we can defend Hitler, thanks to Brian and his shows and his
channel.
Kudos to Brian.
Kudos to Brian.
This is the Truth and Justice for German Society video to Monica Schaefer's, our president. She'll be happy with this video, I'm sure.
Okay. I'm done.
Yeah, I guess we can wrap it up. It's been about 2.5 hours, a little bit more. So thank you very much, Carolyn, for being back on the show. And Pete's always there. So this is thank good. You, Brian. We'll do some more.
Thank you, Carolyn, for being on the show. It was very nice being on with you.
Well, thank you, guys, because I do enjoy it. I do really enjoy it. I always love talking about Adolf Hitler. And now you've got me down. You got all this stuff that I said down recorded for history, so I don't have to write it all down myself.
Yeah, well, we'll have you back on, Karen. We'll do more for sure.
Okay.
I really appreciate you both being on the show. Thank you kindly. You did it for the great one.
For the great one.